Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Deuteronomy with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave takes us through Deuteronomy chapter 9 through chapter 10, where we see that our salvation has nothing to do with our merit, and God doesn't bless us just because we are so holy or worthy. It is simply due to His sovereignty and grace. All we need to do is receive and believe. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in Deuteronomy chapter 9.
Wherefore Levi has no part nor inheritance with his brethren. The Lord is his inheritance, according as the Lord thy God has promised him. And I, verse 10, I stayed in the mount according to the first time, 40 days and 40 nights, and the Lord hearkened unto me at that time also, and the Lord would not destroy thee. And the Lord said unto me, Arise, take thy journey before thy people, that they may go in and possess the land which I swear unto their fathers that I have given to them. And now, Israel, verse 12, what does the Lord your God require of thee? Listen, you've got to pay attention right here. If you've fallen asleep, wake up. If you're daydreaming, please give me your attention. If you put away your pen or your pencil, get it back out. What does the Lord require of thee? This should interest you. Because the things here that he says to Israel of old, there's five of them in the next two verses, the five descriptive things that he says that I want you to do, these are the things I require of you. I believe he requires of us today as followers of Jesus. Let's take them one by one. He says, now, Israel, this is what the Lord requires of thee. First of all, he says, and this is the first of about five things, he says, I want you to fear the Lord your God. Solomon, wisest man to ever live, what did he say about fearing the Lord? It is the beginning of wisdom. What else did he say about fearing the Lord? It is the beginning of all knowledge. You want to be wise tonight? You want to have knowledge tonight, godly knowledge, good knowledge, fear the Lord. It's a word that's used some 50 times in Scripture. It's speaking of a reverential awe. You're reverent, and in your reverence of God, you have an awe of Him. And in your awe of Him, it leads you to humble submission to who He is. You are so in awe of your God. There's a fear that drives you away, and there's a fear that keeps you near. I believe it speaks of both here. A fear that, man, God, I don't want to be in your presence if I've sinned against you deliberately here. I don't want to anger you, Lord. I have a fear of you as my father, but also a fear that keeps you near. When my son Charlo's in trouble, when he does something wrong, spearing his sisters, hitting them with a baseball bat instead of a baseball, things like that, if I say, Charlo, get over here, just sort of raising my voice and demanding with authority, get next to me now. There's a fear in him that he knows he better get near ASAP and stay close to me or he's going to get it. But he also knows, too, that if he's really done something wrong, if there's an elevation of my voice and calling his name, he'll run up the stairs and go hide somewhere. There's a fear that drives him far, too, because he knows you better check yourself here. What you did is wrong and you're in trouble now. And God is calling his people, you got to fear the Lord. That's the first thing. God requires you to fear him. Listen to me. The church has lost this. By large, the church has lost the fear of the Lord. And that is the grass root to all of our issues that we find today. Why have we wandered from the word of the Lord? Why have we gotten ourselves into such trouble? Why are marriages breaking up left and right? Why are families falling apart? Why are Christians walking away from Jesus? Why are Christians smoking different drugs and taking abuse? Why are Christians, you're in for it now, but in the sense of literally you're setting yourself up for, I understand there's been some distractions and I'm not somebody wonderful to listen to. I'm not acting like I am, but if you haven't listened the whole time and you're not going to listen at all after this, hear these next two verses. There's five things that God requires of you. You cannot go without fearing the Lord. What keeps you from sin? The fear of the Lord. Isn't that true? Yeah, you love God. I know. Don't try to get all spiritual now afterwards and say, Pastor, it's because I love God. Of course you do, but you're afraid. The Bible says that if you practice sin, you're going to hell. You will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's scary. That puts fear in your hearts, doesn't it? I mean, I'd be a liar if I said, well, I never sin because I love Jesus so much. No, there's a time where I elevate love for things and sin above God, and it's not my love for Jesus that stops me. It's, Lord, I fear you. I better not do this. I don't want to reap the consequences here. I know they'll be great. I'm just being honest with you. There's a fear that keeps me near. Jesus, I'm afraid of myself. I'm afraid of losing and distancing, having distance creep in between my fellowship with him. There's a fear there. Lord, I fear this. I need to stay close to you. Fear the Lord. Secondly, found in verse 2, the second thing that God requires of you is to walk in all of his ways. This is a walk that we have with Jesus. It's not a sprint. If you've fallen down tonight, it's very easy to get back up and begin to walk again. The people that you're doing this thing, this Christianity thing with, are walking. It doesn't take long to catch up. Just get up and begin to walk with your Savior again. It's a step-by-step, day-by-day, all by grace. Walk with Jesus. A day at a time, a step at a time, a pace at a time. Walk with Jesus. Give him your day at the start of every day. Give him your life. Walk with him. Walk with Jesus. Walk with Jesus in all of his ways. You're not given the liberty here to be selective. Well, I only embrace certain parts of the Bible, so I'll walk with them there, but the other places I'm still kind of doing my own thing. No, there's no option for that. You walk with Jesus in all of his ways, not your ways. He wants every fiber of your being tonight to be his. The third thing here that he calls of us to do, that he requires of us, is to love him. Love is an action word. Love is a verb. God is saying, I want you to love me. I want you to love me. That's all God really, really, at the end of the day, wants from you, just to love him. Fourthly, I want you to serve me with all of your heart and with all of your soul. There's so much of the church that have sort of taken this requirement as an elective. How many folks do we know? Maybe you're one of them tonight, and this is no condemnation. This is just the reality. You've been walking with Jesus for decades, and you still don't serve the Lord in a formal way. God has given you gifts and abilities to bless the body that you fellowship with, and he wants you to serve him with those things. Those things weren't given to you in vain. Are you doing that tonight? Have you gotten before Jesus and said, Jesus, what are my gifts? You've given gifts to each person liberally as you've seen fit. Lord, am I using them? Or am I being selfish with them and hoarding them? Serve the Lord with all of your heart, with all that you are. Well, I'm sort of at the end of life here. I've retired. I'll let the next generation do their thing. Now, I know there's really never a place given to that in Scripture. You can retire from your earthly means of a job for provision and things such as that. But as far as the kingdom of God goes, you're supposed to be busy about your Father's business till that trumpet sounds or until he calls you home through death. Well, I'm just sort of taking a sabbatical. Well, make it short. My sabbatical Saturday. Then it's time to go again on Sunday. Then the fifth requirement we see is in the first part of verse 13. Keep the commandments of the Lord, his statutes, which I command for thee, for thy good this day. And I love how he closes this chapter, and this is where we'll close tonight. He says, behold the heaven and the heaven of heavens. It is the Lord's, your God, the earth also, with all that is therein. Can we do that real quick? I mean, he calls us to. Behold in the Hebrew means consider. Consider the heavens, he says, and the earth and all that is therein. Just let's have a seal off for a minute. A selah means, shh, Lou called me a hippie tonight, and maybe I am turning into one. But I'm blown away. Even his creation demands his majesty. It declares his majesty. And look at the clouds floating in the sky, honestly. It's his handiwork. Scripture says that even if we don't declare that there is a creator, creation itself bears witness. This did not just evolve from one cell. Plants and animals and humans. Look at the handiwork of our Lord. The birds, the stones will cry out if we cease to praise him. I mean, we just take this for granted, but honestly, look at the sun. Look at the blueness of the sky, the greenness of the trees, the grass. This is all the handiwork of Jesus. Behold it, he says, the heaven and the heaven of heavens. It's the Lord's, your God's, the earth also, with all that's therein. I'm the creator of everything, and I did it all for you to bless you. God could have been just, hey, I'm going to make everything blue. The grass is going to be blue. The trees are going to be blue. The sky is going to be blue. Forget big, white, fluffy clouds. Forget different colors of, you know, the sky. Forget an orange sun. Forget, I'm just going to make everything blue. It's these different hues of colors and colors that change with seasons, and all just to bless us. Things that aren't even necessary. Flowers that come up from the ground. The earth and all of its fullness, it's the Lord's, and he blessed us. He says, I want you to behold that this is who I am. The God that's requiring these things of you that we've just reviewed, this is who I am. And I want you to take time to behold it. Only the Lord, verse 15, has a delight in your fathers to love them, and he chose their seed after them, even you above all people as it is this day. Circumcise, therefore, the foreskin, not of your physical male body part, but of your heart, God says. Circumcise, what does it mean to put off the flesh? Put off the flesh of your heart and be no more stiff-necked. Listen, there's a time to grow in your walk with Jesus. There's a season where he sort of, for a lack of better words, he sort of winks at your lifestyle. He's sort of just, okay, he's gracious, he's patient, he allows it to go on and go on and go on. But then, on a night like tonight, on a Wednesday evening at Bible study, when you least expect it, boom, he hits you. And he wakes you up to your condition. He wakes you up to the reality of your depravity. And he says to you, enough's enough now. Stop being stiff-necked. Stop sort of being like a stubborn mule and be a sheep that follows the good shepherd. Stop compromising. Stop doing the things that you did when you first came out of Egypt. Grow up. You're supposed to be going from glory to glory. You're never going to arrive. You're always going to be attaining. But nonetheless, you should be on your way to attaining. You should be growing in grace and the knowledge of who your Lord and Savior is, Jesus Christ. And you can't do that when you're practicing the deeds of the flesh. You can't do that when you're still acting like a new Christian. Grow up. Put away those things that are displeasing the Lord. Circumcise the flesh of your heart. Those things that are not pleasing to God. Be done with them. Cut off the foreskin of your heart, God says. And be a man of God, be a woman of God, be a person, a believer that is filled with the Spirit of God. It's cute when a child, a little child, does something naughty and wrong. We laugh at it. It's cute. Many times, it's not innocent, but we say, oh, it's innocent. They're little. We wink at it. The toddlers, the babies that are crawling around, it's cute. But it's not cute when adults act like that, is it? It's annoying. It's aggravating. It's ridiculous. Imagine if I came up to you tonight and I just snatched your coffee out of your hand and began to drink it in front of you. And then I threw it on the ground like they do with each other's sippy cups. Imagine if I stole your Bible tonight and said, it's mine. You would look at me like, what did he get bit by during that study? What's wrong with him? But yet Christians who've known Jesus for years act like baby Christians still. Because they don't fear the Lord. They don't love the Lord. They're not surrendered to the Lord. They're not walking with the Lord. They're not serving the Lord. And they haven't circumcised the flesh of the foreskin of their heart. The Lord your God, verse 17. He is the God of gods. And he is the Lord of lords. I love verses like this. He is a great God. He is mighty and terrible, which means awesome. But he doesn't regard persons nor taketh reward. He executes the judgment of the fatherless and the widow, and he loves the stranger in giving him food and raiment. Verse 19, love ye therefore the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall fear the Lord your God. Him shall you serve, and to him shall you cleave and swear by his name. Cling to Jesus. Always only Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Cling to Jesus. That's what he's saying to us tonight. He is your praise, verse 21. and he is your God. And he has done for you these great and awesome things which your eyes have seen. Your fathers went down to Egypt with 70 people. And now the Lord God has made thee as the stars of heaven for a multitude. Let's stop there, bookmark it, and we'll pick up next week in chapter 11. But that's what Jesus done with us. Listen, I'm a stiff-necked pastor. I'm full of sin. I'm plagued by depravity. My heart is wicked and evil. I feel like I'm the chief of all sinners. The more I know Jesus, the more I see myself for who I am, and I'm sick. I hate it. I felt more spiritual when I first came back to the Lord over a decade ago than I do now. Why? Because I know Jesus more. So in knowing Jesus more, I see myself more for who I am. And I feel like Isaiah, Lord, get rid of me. Depart from me. I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell among people that are unclean. I'm defiled. I'm dirty. I'm yucky. God, back up. Like Peter, Lord, depart from me. The more that I know Jesus, it has nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with you. But when we heed to God's word, he blesses still. He blesses despite me tonight. Listen, what you see here tonight, this is a work of God. We were a small people. This chunk of scripture, it bears such witness with my spirit. We as a church, we were such a small people just 3.5 years ago. This was like our Sunday morning right here. This was it. And that's fine. And I was blessed. But this was it. But God has multiplied. He's literally quadrupled our church in such a short time numerically, and he's growing us spiritually. But the point is, he's done all of these things because of his goodness and his greatness. And if we want to still see him work and continue to grow and develop us, not so much in numbers, but spiritually, and take us to deeper waters and greater ground and understanding and knowledge of who he is, if we want to keep going and not be a stagnant church, we've got to take these things personally tonight. If you want to just be a dead church, and you're content, you got your clique, you got your crew, you're good with what's going on in your life, and you're okay, this is not the right church. I'm not satisfied at all. I'm thankful. I'm blessed by the work of Jesus, but this is not the extent of it. This is not the fullness of it. God wants to do more. God wants to save more. God wants to restore more. God wants to deepen us and grow us who have known him for many years. He wants to challenge us as we tread through his word more. He's not done. And if we want to see God do greater things yet, we have to take his word tonight personally and say, okay, Lord, start doing surgery in my heart. God, I did not come here just for information. I'm not a theologian. I'm not a Bible student in the sense of I'm literally going to get credits for attending here tonight and I'm going to put a degree on my wall. Lord, I didn't come here for information. I came here for transformation. I came here tonight to say, Jesus, I don't like who I am. I like who you are and I want to be more like you. I came here tonight because I see that this world is on a highway to hell and I want to be a game changer. I want to be a difference maker. I want to experience your glory. You spit out stars. At your word, you have commanded what we see into existence. You are a great and mighty God. If there's ever been a time, now is it that we say, Lord, I'm circumcising the flesh of my heart. I'm done, Lord. I'm putting off these things that are folly, and I'm following wholeheartedly after you. I'm going to walk with you. Because greater things have yet to be done in this part of Rochester. Jesus wants to move. He's just looking for people who will do the first verse of the first chapter we studied tonight, who will hearken, who will hear the word of the Lord and accept it as an attitude of their heart and say, Lord, here I am. Just a dad, just a mom, just a Sunday school teacher, just an usher, just a cafe barista, just a sound guy or gal, or just a church attendee, but Lord, here I am. Sign me up. I'm going to invite the worship team to come and to lead us in a song. And I'm just going to challenge you guys as the sheep that attend this fellowship just to say, God, what did you have for me tonight in this message? What part of this was for me personally? Lord, what are you seeking to accomplish here? Lord, what are you seeking to do here? Let there be closure, God. A lot of verses were shared. almost an hour of Bible study, Lord. It would be easy for just to sort of go in and go out, and there'd be no opportunity for you to sink the depth of your word into my soul. Lord Jesus, what did you want to accomplish tonight? What did you want me to hear? What did you want me to catch? Lord, bring it to my mind right now. And then establish it. For me, I'll encourage you. For me, it's the faith thing. I am sure of this. God wants to do more. And so I'm gonna be exhorted tonight by his word, as I've shared it with you, to keep going in the direction he's shown me for this church and step out in faith. Mm-hmm. That's for me tonight. God is calling me to be a bigger man of faith and to take steps into deeper water that people might scorn at and mock at, just like it happened in Nehemiah when he went to go build the walls back at Jerusalem. Sanballat, Tobiah, they came, they mocked, they scorned. I feel like God's challenging me to take steps in such a way that I'm going to encounter such opposition. But I'm ready for it if God's leading me into battle. I don't know what it is for you tonight. Maybe it's sins that have plagued you and have beset you for some time. And tonight God is saying, enough. Enough. And it can be enough, because it's not by your might and it's not by your power. But it's by his Spirit. His Spirit who raised Jesus Christ from the grave. That same Spirit that was power enough to raise Jesus Christ from the grave is in you as a believer. And if he can raise the dead, if he can command life into a dead being, he can bring spiritual life to you tonight. Oh, but you don't understand. I've struggled for so long. I've always been this way. I'll have victory and then I'll fall back into it. Listen, he pities you, knowing that you're just dust. He doesn't condemn you. He loves you. Remember what we learned on Sunday. He holds you with his everlasting arms. He is your refuge.
That concludes our message for today, here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. During this unprecedented time in our nation, we are adhering to the guidelines set up by our government to be able to conduct services while still keeping our fellowship as safe as possible. If you would like to know how to attend a service or any other news here at the church, we would encourage you to go to Instagram, Facebook, and ccwestside.com. to find out more about what is going on currently at the church. If you are unable to attend a service, we will be continuing to live stream our services so you can be blessed in the comfort of your own home. If you do not have access to social media, we would encourage you to call the church office and someone will be happy to answer any questions you may have. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. That's 585-352-3150. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. In Luke 19:10, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It's our prayer at CC Westside that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ.